For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast.
Bengals are the best team in Cincinnati.
They are the best team in Cincinnati, John. Well, the best.
Easily. The Bearcats.
Professional football. Oh, okay, so best football team.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Yeah. And, John, they have one of the top five quarterbacks in the AFC North right now. Easily.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. John, we just saw Jake Browning make his first starts.
We did.
And it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. Really,
no,
I think you
explain.
And I. Yeah. Well.
Explain.
He didn't have like 8 interceptions, did he?
No.
He didn't get sacked 15 times. He did take some bad sacks, you know? And those sacks, it was like he was
trying to be... bad sacks better than no sacks? Yeah, that's really the
bad
question.
Bad sacks is when you feel unloved by the defensive end and you just kind of lay there like a cold fish.
Yeah.
And it's a bad sack.
Bad sacks on the beach is... I'll take it at this age.
Yeah.
Bad pizza's better.
Yeah,
John, here's the thing. A lot of people compare sacks and pizza. John, you can't go wrong. John, look, here's the thing. Jake Browning, okay, he is trying to play like Joe Burrow because this is Joe Burrow's system, and he is a guy like Joe Burrow who threw a crazy amount of touchdowns. He threw 91 touchdowns, what, his junior year in high school? I don't remember. He threw a lot of touchdowns. He was a superstar. He thinks he's
like
a superstar. Yeah, he still sees himself as a superstar, right?
Well, he's in for a terrible awakening.
Yeah, no, but what I mean is he's trying to play like Joe Burrow, and he's going back there. He's waiting for these big plays downfield, and he can't make the throw. No. He can't process it fast enough, and he's getting nailed.
The NFL just moves very fast.
And it's resulting in sacks when he gets nailed.
Sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John.
And you know, I'm sure John's wondering, hey, what would a previous QB coach say about all this? And John, that's a good question. I would say, look, the higher ups on the Cincinnati Bengals, they face a choice. Okay, they got their A.J. McCarron, they got their Jake Browning. And I know that's not an easy choice. One's young and one's a little bit older, though. I think he's A.J. is what, 32? That's not that old, really.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, one's a little bit older and one's young. One has been on the roster longer than the other. And maybe the idea is you develop Jake Browning. But at the end of the day, you put in a Jake Browning and you're going to get the Jake Browning out.
Yeah.
You know, what you put in is what you get out. And if you think you're going to develop Jake Browning into some sort of superstar, it ain't going to happen, not in today's NFL.
No. But you AJ know who McGa- was, no, yeah, yeah. You know who was a superstar very recently?
AJ McCarron.
Just this past summer, AJ McCarron.
Yeah, AJ McCarron, the XFL. Now, John, and this is what he's wondering. And so I'm getting to my point, Daddy, which is great. Right. Thank you for letting me do that. So, AJ, if you go with AJ McCarron, it's a whole different story. What you're telling people is, I value you, and I know you like to enjoy watching the Bengals, and I know that that's ultimately what football is about, is entertainment. And there's nothing more entertaining than the redemption story, and there's nothing better than watching A.J. McCarron come back after all these years and win a few games. And I tell you what, A.J. McCarron could win us a number of games.
John.
And I wouldn't say that about Jake Browning. John.
John, hold on. John, did you see his highlights from the XFL? Because I want to say...
I did.
And, John, he's not the same quarterback we saw in Cincinnati. I want to just show you some of his highlights. He is making every type of throw you can imagine. He's making every type of throw in tight spaces. He's making throws on the run, off his back foot. He's making the little lobs into the end zone, right? He's splitting defenders, right? He's throwing it. John, he's launching it downfield with velocity. Again, look at this one. Through the defenders, perfect touch. He looks like a complete quarterback now.
Well, that was in the XFL.
No, that doesn't matter. Look at the throws. Look matter. Where the balls go. No, come on. They
we just said Jake Browning can't play the way he played because of the pace and the challenge of the NFL. So you can't XFL clip is great.
Yeah.
But I think what would be more relevant is to see those clips of AJ McCarron on the Bengals back when he was in the NFL. And if you watch those...
I think
those,
he's better than then. John,
yes,
hold on. Whether he's
better or not, AJ McCarron was always pretty good and good enough. And Jake Browning is not good enough. So I think that the choice... And Jake, I hope you're not watching the show. I'm not the type of person to hurt feelings. But I really think that AJ McCarron... Whether he's the XFL AJ McCarron or he's the NFL AJ McCarron is good enough for the Cincinnati Bengals, and they could really ride out the year. Now maybe Zach wants to lose a bunch of games, because that's another strategy. Move yourself up in the draft. That's another strategy. Throw away the season. That's another strategy. I don't think it's a good strategy. And with your head coach, your sum total of wins and losses matters. I can't imagine Zach wanting more losses on his record. John.
I know Hoji's speaking for the everyman, the average Cincinnati citizen, the average guy who was at his Thanksgiving and said, why don't we give AJ McCarron a chance?
He can't yes.
And Jake Browning, right? And if you go back to March when the Bengals didn't have a backup quarterback on the roster, mind you, they didn't sign Trevor Siemian until May, and he was presumably going to be the number two. He lost that battle to Jake Browning. But that was when AJ McCarron was lighting the XFL on fire. He was playing at an MVP level for that league. It would have made all the sense in the world at that point after the draft, when the XFL season was done, to sign AJ McCarron to see what he can do with the full offseason, with the scheme and just getting all the reps. And at that point, they brought him in now, what, in September? He's been on the practice squad getting basically no reps compared to Jake Browning, who got the reps in training camp in preseason when Joe Burrow was hurt. It would have made sense to put McCarron in the situation had they signed him back then. But now you're taking a guy who did, again, dominate in the XFL, but hasn't gotten the reps that Jake Browning did. And even if he did dominate the XFL, do you guys know who PJ Walker is? He plays for the Browns now. He's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was amazing in the XFL. He was first in passing yards, passing touchdowns, second in quarterback rating when he dominated in that league. And then he went to Carolina. He had like one good game against the Falcons, and the Bengals completely lit him up last year. XFL success, I don't think I need to explain how it doesn't translate at all to the NFL.
John.
And when we saw AJ McCarron again 8 years ago, he was decent. He was obviously better than what Jake Browning was in this past game. It was still 8 years ago, and he still needs a ton of reps to catch up to where he is now.
John, okay, hold on. First of all, I feel like you're confusing causation with correlation, okay? Just because XFL success didn't work in the case of PJ Walker, it doesn't mean anything for AJ McCarron.
It's not a valid argument for McCarron. John, that's what I'm saying.
Hold on. John, please. Here's what I'm trying to say. You said, why didn't the Bengals sign AJ McCarron earlier in the offseason if he's so good? Mm-hmm. They needed the backup. Why did they get Trevor Siemian? Well, you know
they
why, John?
Could've.
Do you know why? Why didn't the Rams, the St. Louis Rams, why didn't they bring in Kurt Russell or whatever his name is, the guy that won the Super Bowls? Why didn't they bring him in? Why did they go get Trent Green? Why did they get all these guys? He was their last option. Remember? Because he played in the what was it, John? The flag football league. The arena football league. Right? He was a nobody. And so they were like, okay, let's just try, you know, let's take a crazy, you know, chance on this guy because he looks good. These guys who play in these other leagues, they're not respected. It's not a conventional way to build your roster. So you take chances on them. And that's what they were doing. They were playing it safe.
Yeah, and let's not forget the case of the great Fitzpatrick. You know, we all remember, I mean, he's out of the NFL now, but everybody remembers that Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't that long ago. He was on the Washington Commanders and before that the Dolphins. And he could get the job done. He was older. Yeah. I see a lot of the Fitzpatrick in McCarron. And I think he's the kind of guy you'd want. Here's the thing. Who do you want to develop to take the place of Burrow in case he goes down in 2024 during the playoffs?
It's going to be
someone
they draft
the question.
Next year.
Yeah.
Somebody
that's the
better
no.
than these two.
It's going to be someone they draft.
No, they're not going to draft. You cannot draft a good backup QB.
Of course you can.
No, you cannot.
Kirk Cousins was one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
He was not good. I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins.
Let's move on. Let's move on because, John, the quarterback
No. I wanted to put on record. Jake Browning is terrible. He is not a good quarterback. He's not even a good backup quarterback. I want that to be put on record.
And we love the guy.
Dear fan of the show.
I'm not done. I'm not done talking.
Put him down a little more. Break him down.
When we discuss the next part of the show, we're going to talk about how to make the Bengals better. And it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You're just still going to have to do all of these things to make the offense better, no matter which quarterback is in there.
My sources tell me, John, that Nick Foles is available. And what's up with that? Why do we never call that guy?
I think despite you at this point.
I think so, too.
All right, let's move on because, John, whoever we have a quarterback, we've had the running the ball issue
all year long. That's the thing, Daddy-O. People forget. You know, I see all these people on Twitter and on MySpace and on all these platforms saying, Hoji. And they get in my DMs. Leave me alone. Stay out of my DMs. And they say, Hoji, fire Zach. You're a Zach apologist. Look, this team had issues with the running game and had major issues before Joe Burrow went down.
Right.
We saw it in the Houston game and we saw it in the Ravens game.
We did.
This running game is bad. But, Daddy-O, a team, and I think this has been Zach's solution, a team can run on three cylinders. A team can win without a running game. Just like you, Daddy-O. Think about how unhealthy you are. Think about all the junk you eat. But you're alive.
Like one valve that is working, and that's all I need. Like you said, John, here's the thing. Yeah. What's an easy fix to the running game? Our good friend Joe Goodberry pointed out some of the problems with the communication on the line, and there's a lot of issues like that. But an easy fix would to be to have a running back who can hit holes a little faster. And guess what? You just told me we have him on the roster. His name is Chase Brown.
Chase.
He's a rookie, he's ready to go, and he's finally healthy. So, you know, we saw Joe Mixon get 8 carries. Nobody else got any carries last week. Why not? Why not see what you have in Chase Brown?
John.
I'm trying to understand what their plan is with the run game. Because if it were me, just with any any player or unit that's struggling beyond belief, obviously the coach is going to be like, okay, what are you most comfortable running? We're only going to do the things that you're most confident with your preparation, with your specific skill set. We're only going to do the things that you like, which is how any offensive coordinator or play caller should treat like a backup quarterback coming in anyways. I would imagine that's what they did with the run game this past week, and it still didn't work, which to me just tells me that this is mainly a personnel issue. This is personnel not matching up with what the scheme is being implemented from the run game coordinator, which would be Frank Pollock, with the offense coordinator, Brian Callahan, and the play caller, Zach Taylor. It's a complete
mismanagement.
Just mess right now. And the only thing that can possibly get you out of that funk is to just do anything different, which is why there's an emphasis, I think, from the fan base about getting not just Chase Brown involved, like see what Trevion Williams can do on some carries. It's been like 90%, maybe 95% of the carries this year have gone to one guy, Joe Mixon, who's 27 years old, and this rate is going to fall off even quicker because this is the time when running backs typically see a dip in their efficiency and production. So the difference with Chase Brown is that with Mixon, you know, he might hit the hole pretty hard, but he runs pretty upright and he gets taken down at the legs pretty easily. With Chase Brown, he runs a little bit lower to the ground. He's got a little bit more burst. He's definitely fresh. He's only carried the ball like 3 times. He's not banged up at all this year. He's able to go in there and give you some type of a workload, but he's got more explosion. He's got more acceleration that he can get to the outside a little bit quicker. They can run some of those horizontal runs that they've tried to run with Joe Mixon and it hasn't worked. It usually results in negative gains. Obviously, blocking and communication and just the whole process with that has to be better. But even when it doesn't work out, even if the blocking isn't perfect, you still need a running back that can try to make the most of the nothing. And with Joe Mixon, it just hasn't been the case.
John,
how
do you respond to that strange argument that some are making that an overexerted Joe Mixon is only half of the problem, and the other half of the problem is that we don't have an offensive line that really is even creating those holes enough and doing what they need to do to have a great run offense, and that falls on Pollock a little bit.
All this falls on Pollock. obviously he's not the one bringing in, you know, Orlando Brown or Alex Kappa or Ted Karras. Again, three guys who I think are solid for the most part in pass protection, and I think that was the priority with bringing these guys, but none of them fit what he excels at in terms of building and planning a run game. And I think if I were to guess, there's probably some contention with that, and he's probably frustrated that he can't do or coach or implement the things that he's good at, so he's had to completely, you know, abandon that and try to adjust on the fly. He's done that for the past 2 years, and eventually it might get to a certain point where you're trying to change up everything in the middle of the season after all this install, and it just becomes too much, and it's almost like you just need to just restart and just establish a clear central focus, because right now, again, the coaching and personnel just doesn't seem to be meshing.
It doesn't, but John, you know what? The Bengals still have one superstar who's healthy and performing on the offense, and his name is Jamar Chase.
Jamar.
And here's the thing, John. We have seen Jamar Chase, you know, single-handedly, you know, reverse the scoreboards. We have seen him.
Not single-handedly. I mean, that's the problem, right? I mean,
John,
Jamar Chase needs someone to get him the ball.
Joe Burrow has had games where he's just, you know, he's dumping it off to Jamar Chase. It's the quick, I don't know what they're called, the little screens, the, you know, just getting the ball in his hands and getting him going. He's done that before. Jake Browning or whoever is the coach can get the ball to him. You know, it doesn't have to be these deep passes, right? Just put the ball in his hands. Give him more than, what, 6 targets he had last game?
They tried that.
Give him 16 targets.
If you were watching the last game, they tried that a few times, and it was very ugly.
No.
So, yeah, they did. What? Jamar Chase would get smothered and crushed.
Koji, we're over here.
Well, I see you
there
here.
There you go.
Yeah, he likes to watch the TV instead. Yeah. Yeah. Sees it on the sides. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll scoot up. So, the thing is, we saw that happen in the game where Jamar Chase.
John, is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I watched the game. They would just shovel it off to Jamar and he'd get crushed because he's just one man. That's not how running works. You've got to create a wave of offensive linemen pushing and making holes, and then the person runs through. You can't, listen,
we're talking
you
about
can't
the receiver, Jamar Chase.
I know. Yeah. But you're talking about doing like a short little pass to him. So he's basically like doing a running kind of scheme. You still need blocking for that.
No, not running a scheme behind the offensive line. He's out left or out right.
Yeah.
You give the ball to him quickly, like 2 yards beyond the line of a scrimmage. Yeah. And he tries to shake a defender and he gets 7 or 8 yards.
He can't.
I'm kind of with Hoji on this.
Yeah, I think we saw that.
Because Mike Santagna brought up a great point today and how it's tough for the Bengals to just establish the run. And this has to do with Jamar Chase. So believe me, I'll get to that point. It's tough for the Bengals to establish the run when not only is your offensive line incompetent in that regard for the most part, you don't have guys on the perimeter that can block. You have basically one tight end who can block in space barely, and that's Drew Sample, and he did not have a good game against the Steelers in that regard. Their receivers are not good at blocking at all. Tyler Boyd is terrible. That's honestly a pretty underrated aspect of being a slot receiver is the ability to block, but compared to some other offenses in the league, they don't have guys on the outside that can just at least get in the way of some of these cornerbacks, and it blows up their screen games, which is why it limits how much that you can do that with Jamar Chase. Like, their screens to their wide receivers are not set up correctly. They're definitely not blocked right. So with Jamar, it's almost like, yeah, of course, if you get him out in a one-on-one situation, 9 times out of 10 he's going to make that guy miss and he's going to get some extra yards. We see that all the time. It's just not a recipe for success for them, though. They have to get
John,
ways to get
John, what do you propose? Let's be creative. How do you get this offense going with Jake Browning as your quarterback? How do you get more than one touchdown, a freak touchdown, where Drew Sample has to bulldoze his own man and Jamar Chase has to catch, you know, a 31-yard pass that was deflected off a Steelers' hands? That was a freak series. How do you get more than that?
Yeah, so the Joe Burrow offense requires the most thinking, I think, out of any offense in the NFL. It's a lot of, obviously, run-pass concepts where he's making that decision in mid-play. It's a lot of reads that requires him to just process all these things in very quick time. You need to dumb down the offense extremely, and the best way to do that is just to spam play action. And the Bengals, in the Joe Burrow era, historically, have always been very low in regards to their play action percentages. They haven't been good with play action typically with Joe Burrow, but I think that's an area where Jake Browning would be more comfortable. It's really is just a cheat code for quarterbacks. You don't really need a good running game to have a good play action game. And if they just want to spam it, whether on these bootlegs, whether in the shotgun, whether just a straight drop back, spam play action to get to create some spacing with the defense, because obviously when your head is turned and your back is turned to the defense, it's not like you turn back and you have to go through these full field reads, if you will. It's just there's typically a one or two read option that you just have to basically find the open space. And the less thinking that you have Jake Browning doing, the better, because yeah. That was the biggest issue that I saw. There were some wide open throws that he just didn't make or was just too late, and that led to either just terrible decisions or sacks. So the less thinking mm-hmm. that you have Jake Browning doing, maybe use his legs a little bit more, the better.
But if he's saying less sacks, but use your legs more. I don't whatever.
Okay, so let me interject here. Give me just a minute. The Bengals' next game is a Monday night game against the Jaguars.
Right.
Now, if I am the coach, if I'm Zach Taylor, this is my strategy. Number one, you're playing against a team that doesn't have a great offensive line. Our defense has been a bunch of stars this year, and I know people don't see it that way. They complain about the defense, but this is a team that pretty much stopped the San Francisco 49ers. They did amazing things. It hasn't been as good as other years, but it's been pretty good. So what I would do is a war of attrition. I would attack the QB. I would attack that team, make it a zero-sum game, a zero-score game as much as you can, move the ball forward through short plays that either your Browning or, in my opinion, your A.J. McCarron can pull off, little short passes, win by try to get a few field goals, don't let them get anything, and hopefully win like 6-3 or something like that. And that's the only way you can win, is by defense. The defense has to step up. The defense.
John, how do we match up with the Jaguars? Where are their vulnerabilities?
Hoji's on a heater today because the offensive line is in question for Jacksonville. Their left tackle, Cam Robinson, he's on IR. He's honestly been one of the better left tackles in the NFL this year. They have Walker Little, who's a third-year guy. He's been playing left guard for the past couple weeks. He's been not doing well there. So he's moving out to left tackle. He played there previously when Cam Robinson was suspended and he was okay, but it's still a downgrade compared to Cam Robinson. Trey Hendrickson's on a career pace right now. He's on pace for like 15, 16. How do you say it? Sacks
on the beach.
Whatever the nomenclature is, he's on pace for like 15 or 16 of them. So he's been a busy guy, and that's a mismatch for them. He needs to go off, and typically when he goes off, the defense is in better shape.
So, John, what I'm hearing is the Bengals are going to win. They're going to win with their pass rush.
They have
but to. I said that. Why you say but, John? I said that.
Yeah, but John's being serious.
I'm always
when
serious.
When John says it, it's meaningful.
Let me take a second to answer Andrew. Yeah. Andrew asked a question in the comments. He said, is McCarron a better leader or Browning? Well, it's obvious.
Obviously McCarron.
McCarron. You're always going to go with the person who has Browning, some kind of playoff experience.
Browning is just because they think he can run the offense. Because that's the whole thing.
Reps.
Yeah. All right. So, John, what is your official prediction? How is this going to play out?
Oh, the Jags are winning like 27-9.
27-9. Okay.
This is on Monday night, right?
Mm-hmm. This is Monday night, December 4th. Monday night football.
20-9.
That's generous of you, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting closer. Hoji.
Two predictions. One, if Browning plays most of the game, the other if A.J. McCarron plays most of the game. Because I don't know which one's going to be. But in either case, I think the Bengals are winning because they've just heard the plan that I set forth for them. Yeah. And I think they're going to follow it. I know that they watch the show. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be something like 17-14. Bengals are going to win. If A.J. McCarron's there, I would change it to something like 21-14. Bengals.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and you, Daddy-O, your prediction?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I actually don't think Browning has been that bad. I think he's been a little bit too aggressive. He's been a little bit too one-track mind at certain points. And I think he's going to watch the tape of his first ever start and only the second time he's been on the field.
yeah.
in an NFL, and he's going to learn some things. And good. I think they are going to get Ja'Marr Chase better involved.
Yeah.
And I do agree with John that, you know, the pass rush is going to have an advantage. And the defense really needs to step up. So it's a great point, right. John.
Defense step up. Yeah. I made that point, but that's fine.
Yeah. So all of those things are true. However, we're talking about, John, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, this guy.
Beautiful hair. I understand, but
beautiful hair. And really, I mean, John, he's one of the best young quarterbacks. I mean, this guy, we saw what he could do in the playoffs. It's Monday night. They're at home. They're pumped up. They're winning, right? They're in playoff position. This is their time to, you know, put their you know, to let step on flow. Our throats. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with all of that, I think that it's going to be a blowout.
Uh-oh.
For Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. They are going to have a blowout in Jacksonville, and the final score will be 21-20 Cincinnati.
What?
Oh, I actually know what this is. I know what this is. I understood him now. Hoji, ask.
Yeah. What is the blowout? I mean, why? If it's a blowout, then yeah. Why are the Bengals winning? I don't understand.
I'm going to celebrate if I get this right.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, you want me to say it? You say it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
No, you say it. Well, you have to predict it, John.
Oh, well, obviously, like, when you know, you're distressed by losing a close game and you have the hair to blow out, you know, with a blow dryer, you know, like, you yeah. just take the, yeah, you know, it's just something that you just kind of have to go through.
Wow, that is basically it. Yeah. Yeah, so basically, Trevor Lawrence, obviously, with that hair, he's going to have to wash it after the game. And with all that hair, what you do is afterwards you have to blow out your hair. He has blow a lot dry. Of hair. It's very blow long dry. Hair.
Yeah, if I may, out. If yeah. I may make a very, that's a very astute comment, Daddy-O, but I will tell you one thing that Trevor Lawrence needs to be careful of. A lot of people don't know what happened to Joe Burrow and how he got hurt. They don't know the backstory. And there's all kinds of rumors that, oh, he's been hurt a long time. That's not true. So there's this thing. It's called the evil eye. Okay, and in yeah. my village, we believe in it purely and truly. And Joe Burrow is a victim of the evil eye. Someone was jealously looking at our quarterback. Boom, there went his wrist. With hair like that, Trevor, if you're watching this show, please, please cut it short, do something. You're going to get that eye, you're going to get hurt. I called it on this show. If he yeah. keeps flaunting the hair, people like me who don't have hair, it's not even in our control. We zap like lasers from the eyes, and he will get hurt. And I don't want him to get hurt because I think he's got beautiful hair.
Exactly. Well, with that, John.
What should they put in the comments?
What you should put in the comments is Browning or McCarron. Do yeah. we make the jump now? Do we stick to the script?
No.
Do we stick to the guy who's been, you know, in the system? Or do we take a risk on the XFL guy? My Lord,
I mean, us McCarron truthers. Us McCarron truthers. We've been suffering for years. This John, since 2015. We've been saying, give the guy a chance.
John, Kurt Warner was 28 years old when he stepped out of the barn. Right. He stepped out of the arena. He stepped out of the Walmart where he was bagging groceries. And one day later... He's in the Hall of Fame. John, he came out, he threw 5,000, you know, yards, 50 touchdowns right away. And yeah. if he can do it, AJ McCarron, who is a superstar in college and almost got us our first playoff game in over 20 years. Very close.
Wife is a supermodel. I mean, the man's got so many things that that a great QB like Tom Brady's got. I mean, why not give him a chance? We've been saying it since 2015, the McCarron truthers, at least just to shut us up. Let him play a few games.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Yes. So, please put in the comments, McCarron or Browning? Browning or McCarron?
Browning or Browning, yeah.
Yeah. And subscribe to the show.
Yeah.
And we will see
thumbs
you next
up
time.
It, get the notifications.
So long, sweetie pie.
Sweetie
bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.